Now, an ongoing court case in Wisconsin is highlighting the issue of cyberbullying in schools. Three former students are suing their high school in Crivitz, a town 50 miles north of Green Bay, over an alleged cyberbullying case dating back to 2014.
When the three women were high school student athletes, they had posted a locker room video online without consent. The girls were suspended from playing the rest of the basketball season. The new lawsuit challenges their high school for what they say was an excessive punishment.
Our next guest is Nancy Willard, director of the organization Embrace Civility in the Digital Age. She has degrees in special education and law and creates workshops and resources for schools that want to address cyberbullying. Nancy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. And by the way, as a loyal supporter of my local public broadcasting station, I encourage people to make a donation now.
Well, excellent. It's good to start out that way. Well, let's start by getting our terminology straight. What is a basic definition of cyberbullying?
There is no basic definition of cyberbullying. In fact, there are so many different definitions of cyberbullying. There are also different definitions of bullying, by the way. But the definitions range across the board. The bottom line is young people, well, no, people, there are a lot of older people who also engage in what might be called cyberbullying, who are engaging in hurtful behavior using digital technology.
So hurtful behavior with digital technology. So obviously some challenges in defining it. Does that make it harder to address it, to see what's going on and to make changes?
Absolutely. In the area of bullying, okay, we've got like three primary definitions. One is an academic definition of repeated hurtful behavior where there's an imbalance of power, which is really impossible to figure out. Then we've got the statutory definition. In Wisconsin, you have the definition of bullying in your bullying prevention statute. And then we have just this idea of somebody being hurtful. So because there's this range of definitions of what's going on here, that makes it challenging for schools, for parents, for students to figure out what's happening. But the bottom line is that these are situations where somebody has engaged in hurtful behavior. Excuse me. So rather than try to figure out whether or not a certain situation needs a certain definition, I suggest that what we should do is help young people avoid engaging in hurtful behavior. And if they make a mistake and are hurtful, help them figure out how to help them accept personal responsibility for what they did and then make things better.
Is part of the issue here perception? I imagine there could be a gulf between how kids who grew up with technology see their digital lives and how parents and teachers might perceive it from the outside.
Absolutely. In this particular case, we had some images of girls in stages of undress, allegedly. Apparently, no images have been found based on my reading of the documents. And in particular, when you're dealing with these kinds of images, parents and school officials tend to freak out. You bring the term sexting. This might have actually fallen into what some might consider sexting, but there's really an overreaction frequently when students are using digital technologies.
Well, what does the law have to say about how to penalize cyberbullying, maybe in Wisconsin and maybe nationally?
Most of the situations, the legal question boils down to a question of whether schools can impose punishment on students who have done something off campus. And the standard in those cases requires that schools balance students' rights to receive an education versus students' rights of free speech while not at school. And the legal standard is pretty clear, and that is that when students' exercise of speech when off campus is significant enough that it is causing an interference with another student's ability to receive an education or participate in school activities, schools do have the authority to impose discipline. And the only questions that come up in these cases is when the student targets a staff member, because then there's this question of whether there's actually been an interference with other students' rights. And what you're doing is balancing students' free speech rights with students' rights to receive an education.
And we'll leave it there for now as we continue later on our conversation with Nancy Willer, director of the organization Embrace Civility in the Digital Age. We're talking about cyberbullying in schools.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, do you worry about your child being involved in cyberbullying as a victim, a bystander, even a perpetrator? How have you talked to your kids? Have you talked to your kids about cyberbullying? Do you feel like schools take this seriously? And if you work in the schools, how does your district handle this issue? We're talking about cyberbullying in schools and what responsibilities schools have for protecting their students. And we'd like to hear what you have to say at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. As a parent, do you worry about cyberbullying? Have you encountered it with your kids? Do you feel like you understand it, what to watch for? And if you work in schools, what do you have on your curriculum? Do you try to create a more positive environment so you don't get to the point of cyberbullying? How do you handle discipline issues related to online harassment and bullying? Call 800-642-1234, or you could post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We pick up our conversation now with Nancy Willer. She's the director of the organization Embrace Civility in the Digital Age. And Nancy, what advice would you have for school districts who want to craft an effective anti-cyberbullying policy?
Okay, here's the bottom line. The current approach that schools are trying to use to address bullying and other hurtful acts is making rules against this, telling staff to supervise when it's at school, telling students to report, and then imposing discipline. This approach is not working in school, and it certainly isn't going to work with cyberbullying. School officials aren't making rules for sites or apps. School staff aren't present in digital communities. Students, absolutely, most of them are not reporting. And if you impose punishment, as was done in this case, that can actually lead to exasperating the situation, can result in anger, this case, can result in retaliation. It's pulling things apart. It's not working in schools. It's not going to work. This approach is not going to work. So the just say no approach is ineffective.
So
what
do you
we
think...
have to do?
Right, sure, go
okay,
ahead.
What we have to do is we have to shift to a more positive and powerful approach to help young people foster positive relations and resolve these hurtful situations in a much more restorative manner, not a punitive, not an adult authority coming in and say, I'm going to punish you, but an adult who comes in and says, hey, you made a mistake. You were hurtful. You caused harm to somebody else. Let's talk about what happened. And let's, you know, I want to help you get to the point where you accept personal responsibility, and then we'll figure out how to remedy the harm. So the current approach to bullying prevention, if people want to go to my website, it's embracestability.org. There's a new survey I just released, and we will provide the data that indicates that what schools are doing isn't working.
I want to ask about this particular case in Wisconsin and Krivitz, cyberbullying. As you said, it ended up becoming something that was pretty personal to a lot of people. The kids involved ended up feeling bitter about, some of them were suspended from the remainder of the basketball season. The parents got involved. Some of them are running against the other parents. So in this case, were you the person to come in, what would you have done with these students and their parents in the school?
Okay. This case is quintessential how not to handle the situation and how these kinds of punitive responses that schools are told. Schools are told that's what they're supposed to do. Okay. So that's what the school did. But these kinds of punitive responses often do not resolve the situation and frequently make things worse. Okay. These were some girls who kind of got out of hand in a locker room, probably after a practice, and they made a mistake. So, I mean, my guidance at would be to pull these girls together, talk with them, figure out what was going on in their heads, help them get to the point where they accept personal responsibility for the fact that they did make a mistake. If there was anything posted, which I don't think there was, actually, based on what I've read, you know, making sure that's protected, all gone, you know, nobody can do anything with it again. And then how do we remedy the harm? So there might have been harm to the other students who were depicted or maybe felt uncomfortable, and there was harm to the school community. One of the best ways to have students who have engaged in hurtful behavior, accepted personal responsibility, realized they made a mistake, is to use these young people as teachers for others so that they say, hey, you know, I made a really bad mistake, and I want to help you not make a mistake. That's a restorative approach to resolving this kind of a situation.
And what role, as we wrap up, just a little bit of time, but what role should parents play in this?
Parents need to help their young people. They need to help their young people know how to calmly respond to hurtful situations. A lot of times these situations online explode because of impulsive behavior and retaliation. So being able to remain calm in these kinds of situations, think things through. Think about what they want to accomplish and some steps they can take to resolve the situation. And the importance of avoiding any kinds of retaliation, those things are very important. Now, I have a new program for schools. Mm-hmm. It's called Be a Leader. It's a free program, a free instructional program for schools that focuses on how to empower kids to foster healthy relations.
And we're going to leave it there. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us. That was Nancy Willard, director of the organization Embrace Civility in the Digital Age. She joined us to talk about cyberbullying and what schools can do about it.